Okay, thank you, Ricardo, for warming up the stage. Yeah. So, okay, this talk is about Stalwart and whether it's open source software is ready to run something like Gmail. So for those that do not know Stalwart, Stalwart is an email and collaboration server that supports every single JMAP protocol out there, except perhaps a few things like VAPID or VAPID, whatever it's pronounced. But all the core ones, mail and so on, are supported. It also supports legacy protocols such as CARDAV, WebDAV, and DAVDAV. Okay, so so let's see what, based on, of course, we don't know exactly what Gmail is using to run at their scale, but we know a few things from research papers and so on. For example, we kind of know that for span classification, they use a vectorization model called RedVec. They use deep learning and ensemble models. Then we know they use something called Bigtable Spanner for metadata, then Colossus for the blobs, and Search, we don't know exactly how it's called, but we know it works really well. So how can we replicate this with open source? And here let's talk a bit about the traditional email stack before Stalwart. So the problem with traditional IMAP servers such as Dubcot, for example, is that they rely on MailDir. MailDir is great for single server setups, but the problem is that it does not scale. Some large mailbox provider can make it scale, but that leads to silos. For example, there are some solutions that use some like directors where they keep the mailboxes in a compressed in a blob store, and when the user connects, the one server becomes the owner of that mailbox, downloads it, uncompresses, and then all requests go to that node, and that node sends the updates to the S3 store, which sounds very fragile. So then we have the traditional MTA, such as POSIX, that of course you can make them scale, but they have local queues. They're not, so if one certain node crashes, you need to recover your queue somehow. All the messages stuck there. Then we have the traditional spam filters with the rely on base. I'm talking about the machine learning part, not all the rules and so on. So the thing with base is has a decent accuracy, but you have to do a lookup per token. So that translates into one Redis query or whatever you're storing your tokens. And if you're using something like Bigram or OSB, that multiplies by 5, for example. And then if you keep global models and per-user models, it's that multiplied by twice. So it's thousands of lookups per message. Of course, they can be cached, but still, you have to do those lookups and then update. In a distributed environment, you have to distribute the updates.
Move a bit more to this side for the echo.
Ah, okay. Stalwart has been built from day one to be distributed. Actually, the version 0.1 had the Raft consensus protocol built in. So it used RocksDB as the backend, but I was not so happy about having read replicas. I wanted each node to be like a primary, to take writes as well. That's why for distributed environment, I decided to switch it to FoundationDB. So just like in Gmail, Stalwart has different types of stores. There's a data store for stuff that changes often, such as flags, calendar, contacts, indexes, and so on. Blobs are for static data, such as raw messages, and zip scripts, and files from file nodes. Then there's a full text search engine for searching your messages or calendars, contacts, and so on, and a memory store for temporary data. So in Stalwart, all nodes are equal peers, so they're not replicas, they're no leaders, no directors. Users can connect to any node, no matter what protocol, IMAP, JMAP, DAB. So you can scale horizontally by adding nodes, and you can autoscale by running software in an orchestration platform. So this is how it would look like, the sample design. So you have your client connecting to any node, and then you have the different storage and a coordinator that we're going to discuss briefly later. So the data store, that's where the metadata store is. The recommended one for very large environments is FoundationDB, because it is used by Apple, for example, for iCloud. iCloud Mail is using FoundationDB. But then, of course, if you're not running something like Gmail scaling, you need distribution. There is some posts around the internet on Hacker News saying, yeah, I don't know, Kafka is great, I use Postgres instead. Yeah, the same thing, FoundationDB is great, I use Postgres instead. Postgres is also a great alternative to use, especially with read replicas. So if you don't need that scalability, Postgres is also fine. In fact, Thunderbird is going to release a service called Thundermail using Stalwart, and they're using Postgres. So we'll see how well it goes for them. Yeah. Then for the blob store, the one good option is Ceph, although this needs to be really tested in detail because it could be slow with high throughput. But that is the thing that scales the most. And also that's for self-hosted. If you're running like you also use a S3 compatible API. But what is important is that they're not file system dependencies, so there are no silos like in MailDir. Then the search, full text search, you can use the built-in search engine with FoundationDB, or you can use Elasticsearch OpenSearch. Is Java is not an issue. For Rust people, it is a bit. Sorry for the Java. And mainly search, also for smaller deployments. Then for the temporary data, you can use the Redis Memcache. This is where the rate limiting and other logs and temporary information is stored. Then in Stalwart, the MTA queues are totally distributed. So if one node crashes, the other one can pick up the pending tasks from that queue. So you can keep also, if you have a lot of messages pending for delivery, you can start adding nodes to pick up jobs from that queue. Then for spam classification, version 0.15 made a big improvement in performance and also classifying accuracy, classification accuracy, by switching to the follow the regularized leader with proximal updates algorithm. That is from Google Research. It's used in AdWords. It's for AdWords click prediction. It's an online learning algorithm. Has also better accuracy than Bayes, because Bayes assumes feature independence. So to make it work, you need to use Bigram or OSV. So FTRL is an optimizer function for a logistic regression model. So there are no lookups with this algorithm, with this design, sorry, not only algorithm, because it's in the hashing tree. The hashing trick is another Yahoo paper, so this is, you probably still use nowadays by Yahoo, which is compressing the features of your model into a fixed size. And in order to reduce collisions, they change the sign with a second hashing function, and their paper shows that they can fit in 8 megabytes of memory, or around 2 to the power of 20 features. The email for global and per user models for 430,000 users, or 4 million emails, or 3.5 million emails. So Stalwart by default is 2 to the power of 20, but you can increase that to any number. And if you start having problems with collisions, you can use another paper that is called, that improves on a hashing trick and uses the cuckoo hashing, which is the cuckoo hashing algorithm, but updated, modifying the hashing trick, so to reduce the collisions. So then in Stalwart, you had another component, which is a cluster coordination. So what it does is when you, for example, there's a JMAP update in one node and the JMAP subscription or the user is connected with the event stream to another node, so those updates need to be distributed. So for that, another kind of updates like failures and so on are distributed with a coordination mechanism. If you don't want another dependency, you can use Eclipse Xeno, or if not, something like Apache Kafka or Red Panda for something with higher throughput. Then for cluster orchestration, the difference is that so the orchestration is running the multiple instances of Stalwart in a cluster, and then when there is a if you need to add a new node automatically, the orchestrator mechanism can do that for you. Also, when the load is low, some nodes can be removed from the cluster. So Stalwart can run something like Kubernetes, Apache Mesos, and so on. So I wanted to go discuss briefly the cluster topologies. So let's say you have 1,000 nodes, how you distribute them. You can make all those 1,000 nodes. This is just for Stalwart, not for the other services like the database and so on. So you could have all nodes doing everything, JMAP, SMTP, IMAP, DAB, and so on. Or if not, you can separate those, distribute evenly those nodes based on what they will be doing by protocol, for example. You could have some nodes for JMAP, others for IMAP, SMTP, and so on. If not, you can distribute them, you can do a weighted allocation based on how popular that protocol is and put more nodes on that subcluster, say. And then another way to do it is pairing protocols, for example, similar protocols, SMTP, IMAP in one group, then the JMAP and DAB protocols, so HTTP protocols go on one side, and so on. And then you can also create a cluster based on geographic distribution. You can have different Stalwart clusters by region, accessing the same stores. So to summarize, so usually you can start with unified and then move based on your traffic patterns. So how close are we to running something like Gmail with open source? So how close also Stalwart is, and how close are the individual open source components? So the closest we have to Gmail scale is FoundationDB, because it's super scalable and is used in production by Apple. Of course, Apple is not Gmail scale, but it's also amazing, millions and millions of users. Also could be sharded eventually, subclusters of FoundationDB possible. So this is an informal comparison based on public available info. FoundationDB is the closest we have to a big table and spanner. Then for blobs, Ceph also is a good alternative. Although, because of the scale, this is used for example by CERN, HP, and some other companies. They claim they can scale to petabytes or to exabytes of data. We need to make sure how fast it is only. If it can handle high throughput, like a lot of writes when you start receiving a large amount of emails at the same time, if Ceph can handle that load, or if that would create a bottleneck. So yet this is another informal comparison of the of Ceph and Colossus. So the only issue we have is, in my opinion, is a search store. This is because Gmail is excellent at searching at scale, We have, for example, Meli-Search, which is also a Rust, written in Rust, but it's a single node, and the distributed one, the distributed version is commercial. And also, it is not possible to map every single JMAP or IMAP query to a Meli-Search query, because it's designed for user-facing applications. So some queries won't work as your users expect. Then we have Elasticsearch, OpenSearch, that, yeah, they're proven solutions. They also work well, but they won't deliver the scale needed for running something like Gmail, right? So how can we get there? I mean, how can we get close to Gmail scale? So what we need is a truly distributed search engine. So one thing we're exploring is Sixthorn, which is a Rust full text search library that is faster than another library, TanTV, because in Rust there's always competition who has a faster library, and they like outperforming C libraries and stuff like that. And this one is quite promising. And they have plans to use FoundationDB as a backend. Well, I propose that, and they're open to the idea. So we'll see how that goes, because that will be also will make search really scalable. So for the spam classifier, we're almost there. For performance, the current model used by Solvr is quite similar to what Yahoo uses. The algorithm FTRL is used by Google, but for something else, for AdWords. The problem or pending thing to solve is the accuracy being as accurate as Google. For example, while working on the new classifier, I did some tests using Redback, which is used by Gmail. This we know for sure. So it's a vectorization model tolerant to attacks. And to train a Kaggle dataset for spam filtering took like 2 hours on an M2 Max, on a MacBook, while the FTRL proximal algorithm did that in seconds. And the accuracy improvement was 0.3%, which for the deep learning model. So for Google scale, that is millions of emails, but for the small guy, that's not that much. It doesn't justify. So if we want to reach Gmail scale accuracy, we need to use something that understands content, the intent of the email, not just counting words like the linear models are doing. So the goal is to match email level accuracy and efficiency. So we already supports integrating LLMs. You can connect OpenAPI ChatGPT. Or Claude, whatever, or run your own model locally. But of course, it's slow and expensive. So we need something in the middle between linear models, something like the linear regression models, and LLMs. And one potential alternative are the BERT models that could be combined with Redback, and that would be great to understand. So these models can assist the linear models, not replace, but add more info to decide if an email is spam or not. Then for what is clustering, Stalwart has been tested in the lab, of course, with a setup with 1 million users. It was done on a 10-node cluster, but of course this is a lab testing. But so far all the work in Stalwart was implementing new protocols, adding new features, but now Stalwart is feature complete. So from now on, the focus is performance and scalability. So from now on is all the fine tuning comes. So to get to Gmail scale, after version 0.16 is released, the idea is to use some credits awarded by GitHub to create a very large cluster to test, if possible, something like Gmail. So as use them, burn those credits to simulate a Gmail deployment, of course, before something smaller will be attempted, right? And then go from there and to see how far we can push it. So the roadmap for Stalwart, as mentioned before, now Stalwart is feature complete. However, there are a few pending user enhancements, user requested enhancements. Version 0.16 is under development. It will no longer use TOML for settings. It will be configured with JMAP, with a new feature preferences protocol, server settings protocol that will be hopefully standardized at some point. So the goal is to make Stalwart as scalable as Gmail. It's an ambitious goal. But even if that means writing a Stalwart search engine to reach that goal, so that is the plan. So, well, this is a current summary, basically, of what I've been talking about. I believe we're like almost there, basically, because of all the great technology out there, FoundationDB and so on. But there's a lot of work pending. Okay?
All right. Any questions?
Okay. The question is how large an organization that recommends Stalwart to be used, or well,
if you tell me Stalwart's running successfully for thousands of people, fine. Does it run with 10,000 email inboxes, or how large is it running in production?
Oh, he's asking in production. What is the largest deployment? The largest I know is 300,000, but it's, they do mostly outbound. Then there are smaller deployments of 50,000, for example, in Germany. There's another 30,000 in France. And also the search engine Kagi, I don't know if you know them, that is a paid search engine, is also using Stalwart. But I don't know exactly the ones that are not. Some users may be using it for with more mailboxes, but if they're not sharing that, if they're using the open source version, we'll never know. Those are the ones I know. Yeah. Can you repeat it? How large, I think?
Thundermail expected to become.
Oh, how large is Thundermail expected to become? I don't know. We need to ask the Thundermail people, but they're running now a beta, and they haven't shared the numbers. But if the my guess is 100, because there are hundreds of thousands of users, based on the donations they receive, I'm sure it will be reached that level. And also because I think they will be also offering free email accounts. So that will also increment the number. Yeah.
Why competing with Gmail?
Oh, because Gmail is evil. Why competing with the Gmail also is, you don't own your data. They're using it probably to train models. And so it's not complete because Gmail is also a service. This is a product, a product you run at your server. So it gives you control of your data. So instead of hosting your email Gmail, you can host it at your own server and and prevent them from using it to train models.
That would be a good reason to release Stalwart.
To release Stalwart?
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, it is out there. It is on GitHub.
There was a question over there. Yeah. Is it anymore? You raised your hand before? No?
Okay, there we go.
As an email provider, using Stelbart in Europe or in United Kingdom, like for like commercial subscription.
I don't know. He's asking if there are any mailbox provider in United Kingdom.
Or in Europe.
Yes, I know one in the Netherlands. Superspace, I think it's called. Yeah. Hmm. Oh yeah, there. Yeah. 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 Credits. Super.
If you rewrite, writing a search engine, can you also replace Google?
Ah, yeah. No, that would be too much.
I'm wondering about your benchmark in size, because for me it's like a little bit of an aberration to have a federated protocol, but then everybody using the same instance. So I wonder if a better benchmark would not be to see how easy it can be to spawn up multiple instances for multiple users or user spaces.
How easy it is to set up
and to multiply the instances.
Very.
If that wouldn't be a better benchmark than one.
Yeah, he's asking about how easy it is to set individual instances compared to something very large. Is that correct? Yeah, that is the main. That's what Stowe is already doing really well, which is running like very easy to deploy. It can handle your DNS records. Well, so far only the TLS. The ACME records, but version 0.16 will handle your DKIM, everything email related. So it's pretty simple to set up a small instance.
There's one final question in the back.
Sorry. We use Stalwart, we think it's fantastic. One question, Stalwart's being developed by Stalwart Labs, right? That's
yeah.
LLC.
Yeah.
That's registered in Sheridan, Wyoming.
That's correct, because there is before it was in the UK, and until the EU Inc. Company is type of company is available. It's currently being migrated to the EU.
Also, it's going to be brought to Europe.
Yeah, yeah. It's already managed from Europe. It's the LLC is for investment from the US only, but it's not. There's no control of the US.
One of the EU levels of sovereignty is that it's controlled by a European country or the European business located in Europe. So. Wyoming LLC might be a problem for some countries, but if you're moving to Europe, that's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is a plan. There's already a UK LTD managing that. But the idea after the Brexit, there was a problem. The company is slowly winding down, so this is a temporary structure until the EU corporation is available. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah.